Tonight we want to continue on in a series that we started last Sunday evening. We have entitled the church Focus. I trust that through this series you and I will be able to see together and understand as a congregation the reasons behind what we are doing and the philosophy which is driving us forward. I firmly believe if we do not have things in a proper focus, we do not have a proper vision for the days ahead, we run the risk of failing to accomplish that which God has for us in this present day. Folks, I believe with all my heart that God is not done with His church, and there is still much work that He desires. If He was done, you and I would be home with Him. But He has still much work for us to accomplish. And it's a responsibility as God's people to have a clear view, to be in focus as to what His work is for us in this present day. Tonight, in the time that we have remaining, I want to give you an insight behind really my thought process concerning the motto that we have shared over the last few months. You have heard me reference this. You will hear me reference it many times. But there are certain things that just seem to come very clear in my mind, and I want to keep them ever before us. And I want to remind you just briefly tonight of that motto, and then we'll look at it in more detail as we consider that which God would have us to do in this present day. Our motto really has three simple phrases or three prongs to it that we have shared over the last few weeks. Number one, and the first step in our motto is simply this, that we as God's people would be growing in grace. And that is based on the passage of 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We have referenced that. We're going to talk more about that in detail again tonight. But that's really the first prong of our motto, that we would be growing in His grace. Second, we want to understand the need as a congregation to be grounded in the truth. And there is a reason behind that being as part of our motto as a church, at least at this present time. And then finally, we want to see that as a congregation, we are to be going into the world in love. And that is based on the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Those three things we have as part of our motto, that we would be growing, that we would be grounded, but then we as a people would be going to this world in love. I want to look at those three statements again tonight. I want to look at it from a little different perspective and trying to give to you kind of the behind the scenes look as to what's going on in my mind as we have put those things together. I know that might be a scary proposition that you get to see what's going on in my mind, but that's what I want to try to really do tonight, is to let you see why those things are so important to me and why I believe they ought to be a part of what we are doing in the days ahead as a church and as the church of Jesus Christ in this day. Before we go any further, though, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together, and then we'll pick up our study together this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that we can come and gather together in this place. We can consider these truths as Thy Word gives them to us. And Father, I pray that You would give clarity and understanding as to what we're doing and why we're doing it. Lord, I pray tonight that You would allow me to communicate my heart behind these things that I believe You have placed upon my heart. And Lord, that we as a congregation would see them and know them, understand them, and then go forth as the mighty army of whom the gates of hell cannot prevail. So Father, we'll thank You and praise You for the time that we have together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. It's our desire to understand or to have things in focus, to have a clear vision and view of what it is or the reasons behind what we have done, and really a clear view of the philosophy which is going to propel us forward in the days ahead. Why we will do what we will do. What's the reasons behind that? I want to give a clear view of that tonight. And as we begin, I want to start with that first statement that we have shared often, that we would be growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can open your Bible with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. What I want you to understand as we look at this first prong of our motto is simply this, that the desire behind that statement is that as a church, Christ would be in focus. When I consider that thought that we are growing in His grace, what I want from us as a congregation, what I want out of my own life and in my own heart, is that Christ would be in focus, that I would see Him for who He is, and I would see my life for what it should be in view of Christ. And the focus of that statement is really none other than Jesus Christ. So our first statement is that we would be growing in His grace. And I want us as a congregation to be continually growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter ends his epistle that he is writing and says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Peter is writing this epistle, as you will be reminded from our study a few years back. He is writing this second epistle to fight against the attacks that are coming from within the church. First Peter was written about the attacks coming from without, the persecution. Second Peter is writing about the problems from within, the perversion of the gospel and the perversion of the truth, just like Paul is going to be dealing with in the book of Galatians. But Peter is writing to those folks that are battling those attacks within the church. And he concludes that letter and gives them the challenge, one that you and I need to accept, that we, every day going forward, would be growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? That to Him would be glory both now and forevermore. God desires that His church be growing. My desire is that we as a church would be growing. From the very beginning of my time here in Newfoundland, this verse has been that which has guided my thinking and guided my whole philosophy of ministry from the first day that we were here. It's been my desire to see our church, our families, and every individual grow in the Lord, that we might be to the praise, the honor, the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, now and forever. I believe it's essential that we as God's people be growing in Him, that Christ would always be in focus. Why has that been my desire? Well, tonight I want to give you some of the reasons behind that thought process. I mentioned to you last week that every pastor is given a duty by the Lord to lead the church of Christ in his given locality. He is responsible to seek the Lord and to seek the Lord's vision for His people. And I hope that you understand those statements as they're made and you hear the emphasis that is there. It is the responsibility of the pastor to seek the Lord's vision for His people at this time. Folks, the church belongs to Christ. And a pastor is given the duty and the responsibility to find that vision that God has for that group of people at that specific time. And folks, I believe God's will is simply that clear. That He has a vision for this time in our church's history. And I believe it's the pastor's duty to find out what that vision is. I'll be honest with you, that is a daunting task. To consider the people to whom you are called, those people that belong to God, that you are asked to lead in His stead. The church does not belong to me. The church belongs to Christ. And He has called me as your pastor to lead and direct
not my people, not according to my views or my vision, but to lead His people according to His vision. And folks, that thought to me reminds me that to every pastor, a sacred trust has been committed. And I'll be honest with you, that sits heavy at times upon the heart. I look out upon you and I see you week after week, and I understand they're not my people. This is not my church. This is Christ. And He has asked me as His under shepherd to give leadership and to share His vision for His people at this time. In many ways, the responsibility of a pastor is very similar to that of a responsibility of a parent to a child. Christian parents are to understand that those children given within our homes are not for our pleasure, nor are they for our benefit. Matter of fact, I feel sorry for people who take that viewpoint. Children were not given to parents for the benefit of the parent, for the pleasure of the parent. Children were entrusted to parents to whom they were given the responsibility to train them in the way they should go. To, as Colossians 3 and verse 21 says, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God has blessed my wife and I with 5 kids. They do not exist as my personal servants for my pleasure. It is not for me to simply derive joy from the fact that I have children. They are committed to my trust for a very short period of time. And in that time, I am to train. In that time, I am to bring them up, to rear them in the ways of God. And He's going to hold me accountable for that. And any parent who thinks that their children is there for their pleasure, for their benefit, has completely missed the point of Scripture, and to be honest, is failing as a parent. Our children were given to be entrusted to our care. Now, as a pastor, I am called not to minister for myself. I don't minister for my pleasure. Sometimes I hear folks speak about the ministry, and they say, I just love serving in the ministry. It brings me great pleasure. Well, you know, there is pleasure in serving the Lord, because there's joy in serving Him. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are tears in serving the Lord. There are heartaches in serving Him. And some folks really, I think, are beginning to miss what the ministry is really all about. Somehow we think that God isn't blessing because everything is in joy and everything is in happiness and we're facing heartache, so certainly something must be wrong. Well, folks, God called me to be your pastor. He didn't call me here to do things for my benefit or for my pleasure. It's not that I am here so that I can get all that I wanted out of life. It's my responsibility that God has given to me. He has ordained me and called me to the ministry to serve Him. And I count that really a great honor. We've been given a call of God to lead His church at this time for God's intended purposes. And again, I want to remind you, First Baptist Church belongs to Him. How do I know that? Because of what we already celebrated tonight. It was His body that was broken. It was His blood that was shed. It was His life that redeemed the church, not mine. So all that we do within a church ought to be according to His good will and His good pleasure. Because it's His right to do with us as He pleases. It's His church. It's not mine and it's not yours. And as we discuss what we need to do as a church, as we seek that vision from God, it's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's not about tradition. It is about Christ being in focus. And us as a people growing in His grace and knowledge.
That is precisely the reason that verse has been that which has guided me from the very beginning of my time here. Every pastor, when called by a congregation to come, and every pastor when he assumes the role of pastor, again, is tasked with finding out what God's purpose is for the church to which he is called. I want you to think about it for a minute. How wonderful it is when you consider what God has done. This church existed for right around 55 years before you ever knew that I existed. For 55 years, this church functioned and operated and was a testimony for the Lord. I knew nothing of you, and you knew nothing of me. But at God's appointed time, in God's providential leading, we were brought together. I was brought here and was asked to candidate. What's a pastor doing when he candidates to a people? I'll be honest with you. My viewpoint of candidating is very simply this. I believe it's my responsibility, it was my responsibility when I candidated, to be able to share very clearly with you what the burdens of my heart and ministry were, to explain to you my philosophy of ministry, what I do and what I believe and where I plan to go. Why is that so important? Because, folks, I am going to operate by that philosophy of ministry that God has given. And so I tried very hard to communicate those things that the Lord impressed upon my heart. You as a congregation took a vote. You as a congregation called, and we accepted that call to come. We began then to make our plans and to move here. In that time, as we waited to come, this is where the Lord was directing my mind. Because the question is for the new pastor, I really don't know these people. I don't know anything about them. I really don't know their background. By the way, it is impossible to get to know someone on a 5-day trip. I learned a few things about you. I learned never to give my plate to a Newfoundlander unless I really wanted to eat a lot. Okay? I learned a few things, but I didn't learn a lot. What do you begin to teach people? What do you begin to share with people that you really don't know, but really from the moment that you show up, you are their leader, ordained of God to be so? How do you begin to lead? Well, folks, the Lord laid upon my heart that the thing that really needed above all else is that we, as God's people, would grow together in Him. Nothing was more important to me than that. That Jesus Christ would be the center and focus of what we do, that we would grow in His grace and in His knowledge. Again, some people really think that pastors, what they do is they come into a church and they begin to simply put their point of view on everything that the church does. And so they take it when a pastor says, I believe God wants us to do that, and their mindset is, that's just his opinion. Now, there may be some pastors who operate under that mode, and I'm sorry for them. But folks, a pastor isn't supposed to operate according to just his opinion. He's supposed to be operating under the vision of Almighty God, who's the head of the church. Right? So a pastor that is following God seeks God's vision. And folks, I can honestly say to you that it was clear to me that that needed to be the driving force of what we did. That we would take time as a church simply to grow in the Lord. And from the very beginning, that was our goal. I really believe it would have been a mistake to come into this church and try to simply grow the work by adding new programs and new ideas and new people. I really believe that in a church that had been established for so long, what was needful was a new pastor with a new people to grow together in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so God directed us to do just that. And I had a willingness to say, Lord, whatever time that takes, allow us as a church to grow together as we grow in you. Quite honestly, I didn't know how long that time frame would be. Could that be a year? Would it be two? Would it be three? I really didn't have that answer. But I was content to know that the very first thing that we as a church needed to focus on was that we as a church would grow together in the Lord. And I'm convinced that we've been doing that over the past 3 years. And that's why 2 Peter 3, verse 18, has been at the forefront of my mind and continues to be at the forefront of our motto, that we together would grow in His grace. But there's a second prong now that I believe needs to be considered. And really, that prong is what we've been sharing as being grounded in the truth. That prong's goal is not having Christ in focus, but it's having truth in focus. And I believe God would have us as a people to understand truth. Truth is vitally important to the life of the church. God is a God of truth. We are to walk and live in the truth. It is the truth of God's word that causes us, by the way, to grow. We're going to grow in the Lord through His word. And truth is vitally important. And we as God's people need to be grounded in the truth. You can turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, we find the verses that really support this prong of our motto. In verse 6 it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Then verse 8 reads, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." God wants us to be grounded in the truth. This past fall, 2011, I was beginning to think about this new year, 2012, and where is it that the Lord would have us go? What are the things that we need to add or do within our ministry? We've been growing in the Lord. What's really the next step? Lord, what do you want us to continue on now in doing? As we began to look down the road at 2012, the Lord began to open my eyes to another need that I think needs to be addressed and dealt with in days to come. And that need is a need of stability that comes from being rooted in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to be what ultimately guides us in the way that we go. And folks, I really think that's exactly the key of what Paul is saying in Colossians 2, verse 7 and 8. That we would be grounded in the truth as we now walk in Christ. That we would be rooted and grounded in Christ and in His truth. Why? Because there are many who are trying to deceive and spoil us through the vain philosophies of man. And what the church needs today is not simply that we would continue to grow, but that we would also be grounded in the truth. That we would be free from error that will be presented to us. Because there is much error that is being presented to the church today. And we need to be rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word of God. And allow the Word of God now to be that which guides us. That which allows us to make every decision along the way. Over the past few months, I've actually marveled at how easily we as a people are led astray by false teaching and improper biblical thought. I have noticed and I have seen at times here in our own ministry, I'm observing it in other ministries that I am aware that the problem that Peter is addressing in 2 Peter, similar to what Paul was dealing with in the book of Colossians, that there are those things that are affecting the church because of the error that is being presented, and people are being swept away. We referenced it this morning. I'm convinced that this is where much of it will come in the days ahead. I marvel at even how many pastors will read a blog with almost no discernment. But because that guy has a blog, or it's a daily blog, then everything that he is posting must be right. Folks, if you believe the truth rests in the internet, then come see me, because I got some great investments for you. Truth is not found in the internet. There is a lot of false teaching and error that exists in the internet. But people will go and say, I think that guy's pretty good. I like what he writes. And they will read all kinds of things that they will say. And if you read those daily blogs, folks, those guys will touch on every topic imaginable. One day they will talk to you about your marriage and your family and your children. The next day they'll be right into eschatology and end times. And somehow we think because it's on a blog, on a web page, it's okay. We better be very careful to come back to the Word of God, folks, and be grounded in His truth. Because there's a lot of people, good-meaning people, who are dead wrong and are promoting error. And I'm watching others be drawn away. Truth is in the Word of God. Many today are excited about the possibilities of growth. Many today are putting out their agendas for how the church could grow. I'll be honest with you, very much of that which is being put out, very little that has to do with what the Bible teaches. Many today are placing an emphasis solely on growth. That's the end goal, to grow at all cost. Yet Paul warns the church to be careful lest men spoil you through vain philosophies of men. Now, if I can, I want to take a moment just to remind you, because you hear me talk about philosophy. And sometimes you say, well, Pastor, you talk about having a philosophy, but then you say not to be deceived by other people's philosophies. Is philosophy wrong? The answer is no. A philosophy, folks, really, if you boil it down, is a roadmap that guides me to a destination. The key to any philosophy is, where is it based? Where does it come from? And that philosophy ought to come from the Word of God. And by the way, it ought to come from the Word of God being properly explained and expounded. Not verses being taken out of their context to prove what they want to prove. You can make the Bible say just about whatever you want it to say. But folks, what I try to do with anything that we develop as a philosophy is to give you a philosophy that is based upon the Word of God. And by the way, all of you live every day by your philosophies. You live by a philosophy is what you believe the church is. You live by a philosophy of parenting. You live by a philosophy of work and recreation. You can go right on down the line. We all live with philosophies. But where is that philosophy based? Well, folks, it ought to be based in the Word of God. It needs to be grounded in the truth. I have a growing concern that many in the church today lack the ability to live their lives according to scriptural truth and principle. And I think we need to keep the truth of the scripture in focus so that we develop right ways of thinking. When I listen to folks and they begin to share why they're doing what they're doing, and it has very little to do with the Word of God, I become afraid for them. I fear that they're heading in a wrong direction. And there seems to be very few today who are really able to take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to their lives, apply it to the church. And we are being spoiled through the philosophies of men. This year, especially in our evening services and weeks to come, I want to study together certain topics that I believe are really misunderstood and misapplied in our lives. Without these doctrines in focus, we run the risk of having our sure foundation eroded and allowing the truth to slip. I'm going to give you one example. In the months to come, I would like to take the time and develop with you what the Bible teaches on the doctrine of biblical separation. There are many people in our day that want to run from that doctrine. You bring up that term and folks become afraid of that doctrine. Folks, there is nothing to be afraid when you talk about biblical separation. It is a doctrine that we need to clearly understand. And it's crucial not just for the church. But folks, separation has implications in every aspect of your life. I want to point out one. If you're a parent here tonight, the truth that the Bible teaches about biblical separation has a great impact on how you parent your children. And I'm afraid that there's many a parent who misses the mark in their training because they lack an understanding of the knowledge of separation. And in all fairness, we make decisions for our kids based on convenience and ease, not biblical truth. And folks, we have to get back to doing things wisely, being grounded in the Word of God. It'll make all the difference. You've heard me say that it's my desire that we not lose a single child from any generation in this church. I mean that, folks. As your pastor, I don't want to see one go the way of the world. But I'll be real honest with you, there is very little we can do as a church if parents aren't doing their job at home. I cannot correct the mistakes of parents in an hour or two or three a week, because you have them in that 18-year period of time much more than I will ever have. And I want our parents and I want our grandparents and I want all of us as a church to understand those doctrines, because they're important. And the truth has to be in focus, that we be grounded in the truth and not allow those things to slip. Because when they slip, we're in danger of losing generations to the ways of this world. Now, folks, that's something worth fighting for. That's something worth learning about. The final prong of our motto focuses on the gospel. That we would keep the gospel in focus. We as God's people are to be ready ambassadors to go out into the world with the message of the gospel. So that prong simply states that we are to go into the world in love. It is based on Matthew 28:19-20, where we are told, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." The Lord Jesus Christ gave to us His commission to go and make disciples of the nations, to see them baptized, identified with Him, to be taught and trained in His doctrines,
to be able to then reproduce in the lives of others and have a perpetual fulfillment of the gospel and the Great Commission. We are to keep the gospel in focus. There may be some of you that here tonight would say, I'm finally glad Pastor's getting around to that. I haven't really understood why we haven't done anything like this in the 3 years that he's been here so far. There are some that haven't understood why we haven't put more emphasis on this in the first 3 years. The truth of the matter is, it was intended that way. It was planned that way. You say, why? Folks, I do believe that the Bible teaches that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't you? I believe that God offers his salvation full and free to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? And I believe that those who win souls are wise, and I believe that every church ought to have a passion for the souls around them. Don't you? I do. But I also believe that every church needs to find the most effective way to reach its community for the gospel. And I also believe that many churches will talk about winning people. They'll talk a good talk, but they refuse to walk the walk. Many want to talk about reaching others, but few will actually take the time to do the work of the ministry. And I also believe that every church needs to be prepared for those new converts when they enter the door once they are won. Folks, if you understand the Great Commission, involves much more than conversion. It is more than someone saying a prayer and putting that in a log. It is more than folks just being saved from the fires of hell. It is to be about making disciples. Because that new life is a babe in Christ. And we have no right to see them come to Christ and then abandoned. We have to be ready to do that work. And I want to tell you, folks, that is hard work. When we talk about having the gospel in focus, it is not simply that we make up some tracts or we have some flyers and we just go out and bang on doors and hand everything out. It is not that we simply just get folks to say some prayers and to convince them that they need to say that prayer. Everything will be okay. The Great Commission revolves discipleship, which includes conversion and then is followed by teaching. And what I've been waiting for in many ways is folks to say to me, Pastor, I'm ready for that work. And folks, that has started. You want to thrill the heart of your pastor, you come to him and say, there's someone who needs to grow in the Lord. Do you have anything so I can do a Bible study with them? I will get you the materials that you need so you can do a Bible study. You will benefit from it, and so will they. That's the Great Commission. But folks, sometimes it's easy to talk the talk, but we weren't really ready to walk that walk. And what happens when new converts come to a church and that work isn't being done is, folks, quite honestly, there tends to be more false professions with very too little conversion and folks going out of a church with a false hope, and that frightens me. I want our church to be ready to do the work of the gospel. There's been another reason. There's been another reason I've hesitated, and this one may not sit as well. But I hope that you'll take it as it's being presented in love. One of the other reasons that I've hesitated with providing or doing evangelistic work is because I really believed our church needed some time to heal. I'll be honest with you, every church experiences hurts. But when a church experiences hurts, there is need for healing in that church.
I can speak to you from a very personal perspective. As a pastor who was blindsided and hurt by a congregation, the wisest thing for me was to have some time away to heal from that hurt before I ever jump back into a pulpit. And for churches that have gone through experiences of hurt, and I'll be honest, you went through those experiences. Say, Pastor, how do you know it? Because you openly talked about it, even with me. And as a pastor, and as I hear that, I knew that our church needed that time to heal. Because those wounds were still relatively fresh. You've heard me say that I don't want to impose my past on you, and I don't want you to impose your past on me. Folks, we all have our hurts. We've all faced them. But if a church is going to be able to go forward, there's a need for us to be able to have healed from those hurts. And there were several occasions very early on, and they continued for quite a time after, where it was very evident by things said and decisions made, and some within our own church, and it became very clear that some struggled even with the office of the pastor because they had been hurt by pastors. I understand that. And it was needful for a church to heal. You say, why? Because, folks, I really don't want a new convert coming to the church and being exposed to the bitternesses and hurts of people. Because it poisons them and it destroys them. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we ought to be careful not to fail the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The problem is when you expose new converts to people that are honestly very hurt, and it seemed to be very fresh on people's minds. And folks, the only reason I say that is because in many different settings, those things came out. And I'm so thankful that you were open enough to share it. But when you understand that as a pastor, you begin to say, let's allow God to heal. Holly would be able to tell us more about this. But the reality is, when someone has an injury, sometimes the best thing for that person to do is rehab the injury before they go back to work. Correct? If not, what happens? More damage. And sometimes permanent damage. Folks, as we address things and as we came into the ministry, God laid it upon my heart for this, that we as a church would grow in His grace. So we have taken the time to preach and to teach with those things in mind. I am convinced we need to add to that now. That we would give even greater teaching in certain areas of doctrine, that we would be grounded in the truth, that we would learn to be able to live according to that doctrine. Even in those things which seem to be so small and little of a decision, they ought to be based in biblical thought. And then we need as a church to be ready to go out into this world in love, because folks, there is a world that is lost and dying, and we need to reach them. That is our responsibility. But folks, it cannot be done by a pastor or a staff along with some deacons. It has to be done by all. And we as a church needed to be ready to go out in love. And I think we are. In the days ahead, I want to be able to lay out for you even more things that will help us to be able to reach our community with the gospel. Things that we need to do in order that we might grow and see more folks come to Christ. Beloved, what I want to see is that the church be in focus, that we be growing, that we be grounded, that we might go. And I really believe God has great and wonderful things for us in days ahead. What I've tried to do tonight is be transparent with you and give an inside look at some of the things that are the reasons behind what I do and why I do them. It's not always easy to do that. It's not always the most exciting thing or the most wonderful thought in my mind. I would honestly rather just continue preaching through Galatians tonight than to open up like this and share it with you. But I want you to see it. So I really think it's important. Because, folks, I think there is much work that needs to be done in our church in the days ahead. I don't think God is done. Now, my prayer is that He'll come soon and take us all out of this wicked, vile world. But I also understand He is not willing that any should perish, and He is long-suffering. And He may tarry long so that others would come to Christ. Others that we need to reach. Others that you need to reach for the gospel. I want us as a church to be ready, and I want us to be prepared. I want us to be growing continually in the Lord, to be grounded in His truth in all things, that we would truly be able to go out into this world in love. Folks, I really believe that's the vision that God has for this church in this time. I hope you agree. Because I really believe if we will catch the vision that God has for His people in this time, God is able to do great and mighty things that we know very little of in our day. I don't know about you folks, but I want to see the Lord do wonderful things for the glory of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He's worthy. This generation needs to see the power of Almighty God. And this generation needs to be turned upside down for the sake of the gospel, and completely affected for His name's sake. I believe God wants to still do that. I believe He wants to still bring revival. I still believe He wants to save souls. Not for any other reason, but for His name's sake. Christ needs to stay in focus. Truth needs to stay in focus. And the gospel needs to stay in focus as we consider His church. Let's pray.